Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, welcome to Life Hacker. Hey, welcome to Life Hacker. It is January 31st, and today we are talking about future-proofing your job, automating discounts, and the imminent iOS 6 jailbreak. We're also answering your questions about the purpose of 4G cellular data, recording calls on an Android phone, and building or buying a new computer. As always, we've also got some great tips, downloads, and top stories, so let's get to it.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I am Whitson Gordon, and here with me I have
Adam Dotches,
who has a sore throat, so he may or may not be saying a lot today as he sits here and drinks his tea. And Alan Henry joining us on Google.
Hey, what's up?
What's up with you,
Alan? Hey, Alan.
That just doesn't actually sound like that. He's just making a voice for all of your benefit. all right, we got a lot of news and a lot of stories and questions and stuff to go through, so let's hop to it. First item of the news, very important thing. This is kind of bouncing off something we briefly mentioned in our last podcast about brushing your teeth and dihydrogen monoxide. This is a very, very important threat that Alan and Dotches are here to tell us about.
Yeah, well, I mean, we didn't realize how big of a deal it was until last week. We got lots of emails and lots of information about it. And Alan, you're the science expert, so why don't you just explain what we have to worry about when it comes to dihydrogen monoxide?
Yeah, I'm glad you guys brought me in on it because I've kind of been following the dihydrogen monoxide controversy since I was an undergrad. And I mean, it's a lot of people call dihydrogen monoxide the invisible killer because you can see straight through it. You can find it in all of our lakes and all of our rivers everywhere. I mean, it really is everywhere. I mean, it's in the sky, it's in the air.
I heard that it makes up a large amount of our bodies, that there's just a lot in
right.
there.
And there's just, and once it's in there, there's no safe way to get it out. I mean, thousands of people die every year from inhaling dihydrogen monoxide. It's absolutely terrible. And there was a big investigation a couple of years ago around its use in the agricultural industry, because farmers and dairy farmers, they just use it all over their crops. They feed it to their animals, and because it increases the strength and livelihood of the animals, which gets us better meat and it makes stronger vegetables and things like that. So, but at the same time, there's a huge controversy around it because, I mean, you can find dihydrogen monoxide in acid rain. It's everywhere, and it can really kill you. It doesn't take much either.
What can people do to protect themselves?
Well, for one thing, you can head over to the website set up by the Dihydrogen Monoxide Research Division at dhmo.org. They have a lot of information around. The site's a little old, but it's still a great resource. They have links to the National Consumer Coalition Against DHMO, to the EPA, and they are kind of petitioning the government to encourage people to get dihydrogen monoxide detectors in their homes, usually in places like kitchens and bathrooms where accidental exposure is most likely to occur.
Well, that's great. Well, hopefully everyone listening will take care of this problem on their own, get the necessary gear to detect it, and just be vigilant when they're out in the open.
I, for one, am disgusted by this, its use in our food and in our kitchens and bathrooms.
Well,
it's a very terrible but thirst-quenching threat.
Well, thank you very much for that very important report, Alan.
Yes.
Let's move on to some other news. iOS 6.1, the jailbreak.
Well,
possibly, maybe coming at some point one day soon.
Yeah,
to a computer near you.
Hopefully next week. There have been reports that, as expected, once 6.1 came out, iOS 6.1, that is, the jailbreak would soon follow. And right after Apple released it, to which was kind of surprising because it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get seed notices or anything, which is unusual. When 6.1 came out, there was pretty much an announcement from Pod2G and some of the other people in the Jailbreak community that the Jailbreak is coming. In the meantime, you can enjoy iOS 6.1, which brings some stability, and you can also have Siri buy movie tickets via Fandango for you. It also brings LTE to about almost 30 some other companies, something around 30.
Yeah, some other carriers. So, I mean, international carriers.
It may or may not be a big deal to you that 6.1 came out, but if you do want a jailbreak, look for next week. We'll update the jailbreak guide, our always up to date jailbreak guide.
Yeah. So it doesn't have a lot of new features, but it will be jailbroken in this upcoming jailbreak.
Yes.
Okay. So jailbreakers can upgrade without worrying that it's not going to work.
The news is that there will be news later.
Yeah. God, the jailbreak community is just... The jailbreak community and the people waiting for the jailbreak, the whole thing is so convoluted at this point. The jailbreak community is so full of drama. It's horrendous to watch on Twitter. It's so painful. So if you're ever looking for jailbreak news, just bookmark our guide, because it will be updated as soon as the jailbreak is out, and you will never fall victim to any of those scams. You will never hear about any of this ridiculous drama that is always happening. Just keep an eye on our guide. It will always be up to date, we promise.
Yeah, well, except for sometimes I forget to update the iOS version right away, but you guys email me about that immediately.
Wait, what? As opposed to what?
I forgot that I did this to avoid getting emails from people, and now I get emails from people because of it. I have three things at the top. One is, this is the tethered jailbreak version. This is the untethered jailbreak version.
You mean you forget to update the tethered version? You said you forget to update the iOS version.
No. And then I also have the iOS version, saying this is the current version of iOS, and I say whether or not it's jailbroken.
Right.
I guess I had iOS 5.1 or something on there for a really long time.
Oh, because you updated the jailbreak but forgot to update that one line of text. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then when 6.1 came out, I forgot to do that again. And
well, anyway, we'll be extra vigilant about that as well.
Yeah,
we'll
at least you all will be, and let me know.
Yeah. The next cool thing that happened is XBMC, kind of surprisingly, I didn't really know this was coming this soon, came out with version 12, codenamed Frodo. It's got all sorts of really cool stuff in it, not to mention finally a stable build for Android, so Android users can get XBMC. But we've got HD audio support, live TV and PVR support, 64-bit support in OS X, support for the Raspberry Pi, which we've done a guide on at Lifehacker, and we can link to in the show notes. It is the Raspberry Pi Media Center is pretty sweet. We talked about it last week. I forgot. Improved AirPlay support, all sorts of really awesome stuff. So if you have an XBMC Media Center, you will definitely want to upgrade to this latest version for sure. I haven't upgraded mine yet, but I'm hoping this weekend. That's all I have to say about that.
That sounds great, Winston.
All right, cool. Let's move on to our top stories for the week then. Alan, start us off.
Yep. So one of the big things I wrote about this week was how to future-proof your job with a career insurance policy. And I like the term career insurance policy just because it's really a great way to describe a series of steps to make sure that if you lose your job or change jobs or you just hate your job and quit, that you'll land on your feet. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, why would you ever quit a job without having another job lined up? Those people obviously haven't worked for crappy bosses. So I know what it's like to say, you know what, anywhere is better than here, and just be like, okay, I'm out of here. So,
I've been there too.
It's more of a situation for when you're rage quitting your job.
Yeah. So, Alan, do you have an article on how to build a time machine so I can go back in time and have done this?
I wish. I really do. But a couple of the things are pretty easy, and some of them are common sense, right? But like having an emergency fund, just so you don't have to worry about bills and you don't have to worry about kind of your basic standard of living, is a big one, because as long as you have the monetary basics taken care of, you're not stuck in that situation where you're like, man, I really hate this soul-sucking job, but I got to pay the bills. So you can think more clearly about, maybe if you get a new job or somebody wants to interview you, whether you want to go on that interview without worrying about, well, how much is this job going to pay me and everything. I could probably get by until I find out. The other big thing we talked about was how to make yourself more valuable by diversifying your skills and by boosting your professional network. And we kind of broke down what a professional network really is, which is code for a bunch of people who are nice to each other and help each other out when they need it. Because it's one of those terms that has this stigma around it.
It's really kind of buzzwordy.
Yeah, like professional network and networking and things. All that really means is friends with jobs that help each other with job stuff. And that's pretty much it.
It seems easy.
But other than that, you can always diversify your skills like volunteering. And if you need to go back to school, you can go back to school or take night classes or just learn a new language, something else we talk about a lot. All of those things make you more valuable in the long run, and they beef up your resume without much effort.
All right.
Cool.
Neato.
Yeah. So when Whitson brings the tyranny here at Lifehacker, I'll just have to get that in place for when I rage quit.
Yeah. All of the articles Alan's written in the past year about like how to deal with the boss you hate has really made me like shaking in my boots.
I already have my plan in place.
But see, now I know that he has a career insurance plan, so I can just fire him at any point and he'll be okay. He'll survive
Backfired.
The real world. Yeah.
Alan, I sometimes worry about the amount of trauma you went through with your bosses in the past.
I mean, I shouldn't. I make it out like it's been terrible, but I've had some really good bosses.
I hope none of them read Lifehacker.
I think they do. That's the worst part.
If I were in your shoes, I would kind of hope that they did.
Yeah, maybe they'll change their ways. All right, moving on. We've got Dotchess, how to automate your discounts and always get the best price on everything.
On everything ever. It's not a lie.
No hoax, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Well, about 90% of the time, though, you can get with a few little browser extensions and some smartphone apps and some tools and tricks, you can get... you can basically become an extreme couponer without having to do any of the work, which is kind of the reason no one should ever become an extreme couponer, because you will spend your entire life with a pair of scissors and newspaper.
That's not fun. What was your favorite tip for automating your discounts? What's like the best one?
I mean, well,
or the best browser extension or
I don't
trick
think that, I don't think there's a best one, because they all kind of work. I mean, like, that would be nice together. For summary purposes, but they all kind of work together, because there are a lot of, I mean, like, Invisible Hand is a great browser extension. Honey is a great one that you found the other week.
Honey is so awesome,
where it fills in the coupons.
Did we
for
talk
you
about this in the podcast last week? I don't think so. Okay, so Honey,
because you found it.
We've talked about on the podcast before the other coupon apps, though, right?
Coupon follows coupons at checkout.
Coupons at checkout, which basically when you are checking out of a website, mm-hmm. you can right click on the.
Or you just click in it.
Oh, you just click in the coupon code mm-hmm. box, and it will find the coupon codes for you, and then you can like try them out. So what Honey does, which is for Chrome, is it will automatically find the coupon box. Automatically find those coupons and try them for you. So you don't have to do anything after you install the extension. It'll just automatically start applying discounts to everything you buy online. I tested it with Victoria's Secret and it worked really well. Not because I was buying women's underwear like Dot just wanted to make it sound like in the post, but because I know that they are a company that always has like a billion coupons out there. Like, if you know, you go to RetailMeNot, they're one of like the companies that has like 10 billion different coupon codes. So I was like, this would be a good site to test it on. Anyway, and it works really well.
What's good for, like, it's especially good for specialized sites, because one of the problems with any of these is that when you put in coupon codes to a site like Amazon.com, there are so many coupons for specific things that most of them don't apply, and you have to go through this huge list, and it's a pain in the butt.
So it's better for like specific sites that sell certain things rather than like big sites like Amazon or whatever that have a ton of coupon codes for specific things. It's better for, you know, smaller sites that maybe have one or two coupon codes floating around for like 15% off your order or like free shipping on your order over $80.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly. But there's the browser extensions are great. There are other things you can do. One example is if you want to have, there are intelligent price alerts you can set up. There are also, you can also set up a separate Gmail account and make your own filters. So it kind of gives you, so you only get those annoying newsletters when they're not annoying and have something in it that you want. So we talk about all those different things in the guide and how you can use them collectively to basically ensure that you never miss a discount, but also how to stay sane, so you're not like constantly trying to save 50 cents on a purchase where it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, you can check out that link in the show notes and try out all those extensions and tricks and stuff for yourself. Our last top story today was something Milani actually wrote. It was basically an Ask Lifehacker about whether computer glasses like gunners, which we've talked about on the show before, actually do anything. We've had a lot of anecdotal evidence.
Well, besides make you look
besides
like a 90s
make me look really, really cool, like a 90s snowboarder. we've talked about these in the show a bunch of times. I love mine. Jason Chen, our former managing editor, loves them. But we kind of wanted to actually, it's one of those things that people think seems like a hoax. And we kind of looked into why it seems like such a hoax and whether the science actually backs them up. And it seems like such a hoax because their marketing is insane. Their marketing is so like, extreme, super, your eyes will be awesome, wear them all the time. Like, it just seems kind of like an infomercial, like horrible crap. And there was an interesting article about kind of why that is and kind of the reason that they have that kind of marketing. But besides that, we looked into what exactly it is that these glasses have that are supposedly make them better for your eyes with computers, which is an anti-reflective coating to cut down on glare, and color tints, which cut down on blue light and, you know, make the contrast on your computer better on your eyes. And then we looked at a couple of studies that basically said, yeah, these are probably worth it if you already have eye strain. If you don't have eye strain, then you don't need them to protect your eyes. You know, they're probably not going to get any long-term damage. But if, like me or Jason, you know, you get headaches after staring at a screen for a really long time, or, you know, your eyes start to hurt, they actually can help. And you can almost always find them at really big discounts. If you just are a little bit patient and you shop around, you know, because usually gunners or something run like $75 for non-prescription pair. But you can, you know, a bunch of people we talked to, including Milani, all got them for like $30 from Woot.
You could set up an auto couponing process.
Set up an auto couponing process for totally your computer glasses. And if you wear prescription glasses, you can get special, you know, ones with this anti-glare coating on them or a tint, you know, for using at your computer. And I think that's what Jason did because he wears glasses. I do not. Anyway, it's a big read, but it's really, really informative, and I just thought it was a really good roundup of a lot of the information surrounding it, which has been on a lot of people's minds since we've been talking about them, so definitely go check that out.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, let's move on to some questions. Our first question is from Joan. And Joan says, do you know of any good apps that can record phone calls for Android? Free apps would be preferred, but I'm willing to pay for something good. Sorry. So the first thing that comes to my mind is obviously Google Voice.
And the number this
extension is brought to you by the number four. If you use Google Voice, you can start recording a call at any time by just pressing 4 on your keypad.
You have to turn it on now.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You do. I remember because this was such a pain because when I had to call into automated systems and type in a code and 4 was in the code, it wouldn't work on Google Voice, which was really frustrating. Anyway, so yeah, you can turn that on in Google Voice's settings. But there are other apps for Android. I think, Alan, you featured one of them on the site.
Yeah, Sanity, if I'm not mistaken, is an app.
You're not mistaken.
Oh.
Good. Is another app that does a lot of things, but one of them is that it'll record your phone call as soon as the other party picks up, it'll start recording. And the free version lets you get a feel for it. It I think records like the first 5 minutes or so of a call, but then you have to get the premium version if you like that, and all the other features like spam call blocking and all this other stuff. So it's a cool all-in-one app if you're looking for something like that for Android.
But there are a bunch of others on the Play Store too, and they all have good reviews. So honestly, like a simple search will find you a ton of stuff. One other thing I wanted to mention is that I don't know what you're recording these calls for, but check out, we'll put this in the show notes, a link to our guide on whether it's legal to record phone calls in your state. In some states, you can record phone calls without the other person's consent, but there are 15 states in which you must have the consent of all parties involved in the call before you can record.
How have we not written about everything? I think there are three links in this show already that I'm surprised that we had guides for.
Yeah, I know. We've just been around for a long time. Yeah. The best is, like, as a writer, when I'm searching for something in the internet, I'm like, I wonder if it's legal to record phone calls. And then I'll search for it and be like, oh, wait, I wrote this article 3 years ago. Like, how do I not remember this? That's just, like, the worst experience. Like, you know that you've been, like...
Oh, it happens to me all the time. I just... I'm like... Sometimes I'm telling people, I think there's something on Lifehacker. I might have written it.
I don't know. And people always give you this stare like you're a moron. Like, you, how could you possibly not remember?
Well, you know, I think you and I are both somewhere in the 2,500 to 3,500 article range at this
since
point.
Since we've been here, yeah, we've been around for
it's
a while.
It's somewhere in there, yeah. So after that amount of time, you can't remember everyone.
Anyway, we have written about this. Go check it out. It's just an important thing to know. A lot of apps like Google Voice will announce to the other person that you're recording their call. So, you know, a lot of times you're not going to be able to get away with it secretly unless you have an app that is designed to get away with it secretly. But remember, you should check if it's legal. So anyway, something else to look at. Let's move on to our next question, which is from a caller.
Hi, guys. Love the show. I actually have two things. First is a question. I've been wondering, what exactly is the point of 4G? In a world without unlimited data, based on the 25 megabits a second plus that I can get on Verizon, I can blow through 2 gigabytes in less than 12 minutes. So what is the point of 4G if I can't even really use the speed? Also, I honestly couldn't tell if you guys were joking or not, but if you guys were serious, you got trolled pretty bad. Dihydrogen monoxide is water. So, yeah. So that was kind of funny. But love the show. Hope you guys are having a good day. Bye.
Whoa, hold the phone. Dihydrogen monoxide is water, like H2O. But what about all that stuff about them putting in our food and our bathroom? Oh.
Yep.
I get it. In all seriousness, what happened with this was that, first of all, this was especially sad because I had heard the dihydrogen monoxide joke earlier in the week on the internet, and I had already forgotten about it by the time this came around. It was something that was in the comments of this toothbrush post that we kind of like just noticed as we were talking about it on the podcast. And so I think we just kind of mentioned it offhand and we hadn't like researched it, and it didn't click in any of our brains that this was clearly water. Even though I think technically dihydrogen monoxide is not a correct way to say H2O, right, Alan?
Because it's not.
The two hydrogen atoms are not bonded together. It's a hydrogen atom and an OH ion.
Right, that's
so it's
right.
Technically incorrect. But seriously, that DHMO site we talked about earlier in the episode, DHMO.org, is a hilarious website. You should go to it. Also,
yep, exactly.
If you believe that, I know a place where you can download some more RAM. But yes, to answer that question, it wasn't really a question. Yes, we are all morons.
Well, not Alan.
Well, to be fair, it's all true. People die from inhaling it, and athletes use it to enhance their performance, and it's used in the agricultural industry. It's all true.
Oh, man. So bad. Anyway, but go back to your original
question.
The actual question about 4G. Okay, so I think there's a small flaw in your logic, which is that if you have faster data, you're automatically going to download more than 2 gigs, which isn't true. The point of 4G is that it's really fast, which is awesome. You know, if I'm using my phone normally and I upgrade to 4G and I continue using my phone normally, I'm still going to use the same amount of data. You know, I use like half a gig a month, maybe. I'm still going to use half a gig of data a month. It's just going to go faster. My web pages are going to load faster. My like emails or, you know, videos or whatever are going to load faster. But having faster data does not mean that I will use more of it.
Yeah, because necessarily. I mean, it's like you enjoy using your phone on Wi-Fi more than probably 3G data or the supposed 4G, the non-LTE 4G that's not really 4G. because the Wi-Fi is just it loads things when you want it to load, and LTE will do that for you. But yeah, you don't necessarily have to download a bunch of stuff. I think
it's just so the point is it's faster. Like that's the point. We have talked about whether it's worth upgrading your phone.
Yeah, I think that's really the pertinent question.
I don't think that 4G alone is worth upgrading your phone, but I also at this point in time, if I was in the market for like a new phone, I wouldn't upgrade to something that didn't have 4G.
I basically didn't care because Whitson, you told me when you first had it that you didn't like it that much and it wasn't worth it. Well, and now that I have it, I mean, and I think when you had it, it wasn't as good, and the coverage wasn't as good, and the phone just didn't work
My coverage was fantastic. I think part of the problem was my phone. I had an HTC Thunderbolt, which, A, was already just horrible for battery life, and 4G only exacerbated that. I have a Galaxy Nexus now, which has pretty good battery life in comparison, and the 4G is nice, and the 4G works well. I still don't, like, I wouldn't have upgraded my phone for it, but it is nice for like when, you know, if you're loading maps or something like that, that's a little bit bigger. Again, you know, not enough to make me go over 2 gigs of data, but there is a noticeable speed difference. I mean, when my girlfriend upgraded to the iPhone 5 and I still had the iPhone 4, it was amazing how every time we would both look up a web page at the same time, she would have it so much faster than me.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It really, I mean, like even on AT&T, it's fast. And
so it will, you know, You're right. It makes more of a difference if you're downloading more data. You know, if you're downloading like ROMs to your phone over 4G or something. But it's still useful for those web page loads. It will have an impact on your battery life. But, you know.
Yeah, you're not capped out at 2 gigabytes, though.
Oh, here's the other thing. I correct me if I'm wrong. I'm actually looking this up because I wrote about this once. For a lot of the unlimited data stuff doesn't actually apply to 4G. So, for example, at the time when I wrote this article, which was in June of last year, AT&T customers would get throttled after 3 gigs of use. Like, or people who are still grandfathered into the unlimited plan, which a lot of people still are, would get throttled after 3 gigs of use. But if you're on a 4G phone, you don't get throttled until 5 gigs. Verizon, I think, again, you can... some people are still grandfathered into the unlimited plan, although they're phasing that out. Every time you upgrade a phone, you lose unlimited data. But they don't throttle at all on 4G. So if you still have an unlimited plan on Verizon and you have a 4G phone, you will not be throttled. You have true unlimited data as long as you're using that 4G spectrum for it. So, you know, there's like, again, we are definitely in the age where unlimited data is going away, like he says. But for those people that have still been grandfathered into those plans or whatever, 4G is actually one of the only things left that's true unlimited, because a lot of times it isn't throttled, or it's throttled at a higher cap.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's, you know, that's kind of off on a tangent, but...
Alan, did you want to say something?
Sorry.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say from a non-mobile perspective, there are questions about whether or not you want to use 4G for high data applications, right? Like, we did an article not too long ago about whether or not you should ditch your home internet for 4G just because you have it available. And ultimately, the answer is sure if all you do is look at web pages sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you he's right in regard that, like, if you want to watch like a movie on Netflix or you want to download, you know, some music, then no, 4G doesn't make sense for you because you're going to blow through your bandwidth in no time, regardless of whether or not you have like a individual 2 gig account, or you have like a family share plan, and then everybody else on the plan is mad at you.
That's probably true. A lot of people do, because 4G is like faster than a lot of people's home internet, and so I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Okay, well, on that note, though, I used a WiMAX home internet from Clear when I was in Seattle, I think end of 2011, and it wasn't super fast or anything, but I used it to download stuff, and. It was not really like it worked quite well. So I mean, I think even if they have an unlimited plan. Clear has an unlimited plan. So
still,
yeah, still.
Well, sort of. You know, Sprint is one of the only phone companies left with true unlimited data. So, but again, WiMAX isn't nearly as fast as LTE.
But WiMAX, you can still get like 7 megabits per second if you're in a good coverage area. And
it's not bad.
Clear. I mean, like honestly, with the Freedom Pop thingy, mobile hotspot that I've got.
Yeah.
I get 7 megabits, no problem.
Right.
It's not the same for everybody, and it's going to depend on your coverage area. But if you're just, I mean, like, if you're looking for reasonably fast data, and like the speed's not that important, but you just want unlimited, I mean, you can go through Sprint or Clear and get that as long as the coverage is good. And also, Clear is planning on expanding to LTE as well. So whether or not that will be unlimited remains to be seen, but you can at least get WiMAX through them.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily implausible to replace your home internet with it. It's not something I would do because I have 30 megabits and I'd rather it were faster than that. But I'd really rather the upstream was faster, but than the 5. No one seems to offer 5 in more than 5 in California, but
gotta move somewhere with Verizon Fios.
Yeah,
we've got that around here.
Every time I try to find a Verizon Fios place, it's just so far away.
They have it in Culver City where I'm moving. Yeah, so not anyway, we're like so off topic now. I'm sure that is more than you ever wanted to know about 4G, but that is a lot to ponder.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, let's move on to the next question. Our next question is from an emailer who says, I have the N7000 version Samsung Galaxy Note. Android version 4.0.4 ice cream sandwich. I want to root it and flash a custom ROM. I can't find a good tutorial. Can you please help me with each step required? Will I need an external memory card? Okay. So, no, we can't help you with every step required because none of us have a Galaxy Note. So none of us have been able to test that. However, because the Galaxy Note is such a popular device, we do have it as one of the 15 phones in our always up-to-date rooting guide. So if you go to our always up-to-date rooting guide, which, by the way, was fully updated with new phones this week, you will find a Galaxy Note method there that should work. Let us know if it did or did not work for you. From all of my research, it should be the most up-to-date method from XDA developers. So we'll link to that in the show notes, just our always up-to-date guide, and you can go there and find. If your phone is on the list, you should be able to find all sorts of rooting methods and stuff. So.
And then flashing ROMs are you?
And flashing ROM is easy again. There should be instructions over. We've had some instructions elsewhere on the site. We might be able to link to those. They might be a tad dated, but it should all be very similar.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty much the same no matter what device you're using, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It just depends on what some devices will end up using a different recovery. Mm-hmm. Different version of the, you know, a different recovery program.
Okay.
But most of it's done through recovery today. A lot of people don't use ROM Manager anymore, which mm-hmm. I think we've talked about on the site a lot. That's not really as popular as it used to be. It's easier to just do it through your recovery, whatever that is. It's usually Clockwork Mod on most phones, I think. I'm mm-hmm. using TWRP right now, mm-hmm. Team Win Recovery Project or whatever it's called. Anyway, so check out our Always Up to Date guide. That should get you started. Really, you should do a lot of research over on forums like XDA Developers and Roots Wiki because they will have all the information you need to know. All right, next question comes from a caller.
This is Graham calling from Vancouver, Canada. Fan of the show. I thought I'd just shoot you guys a quick message here. I'm looking to get a new desktop PC and in general, I don't know if I should go with Mac or PC right now. I mean, I have a MacBook Pro that I thoroughly enjoy. I could go either way. I know previous PCs I've had have crapped out a little early. And I am a tech savvy somewhat, but I believe researching a bunch of PC parts may be a little exhaustive. I'm wondering what you guys think. I'm not super heavy video editing, but more need dual screens for the type of work I do. Thanks for the help, you guys.
So to just summarize really quickly, he wants to probably buy a PC or a Mac. He's not particular to either. He
or
wants
build
to,
one.
But he seems more on the buying side.
Okay.
He doesn't really care if it's a Mac or a PC. He needs to do some level of video editing, but not like super intense video editing. And then buying it just seems like a little overwhelming. Buying parts and building seems overwhelming.
Well, first, it's not as overwhelming as you may think. It's very nice.
I agree.
We have a lot of guides on it. We'll link to them in the show notes. We have a whole guide on how to build a computer. We have a number of builds that Alan put together for different purposes. And we also have a guide on how to turn a custom built PC into a Hackintosh.
Which is so easy nowadays.
Yeah, it is. As well as, I just posted this today, I found out that Intel makes a bunch of parts for you to build your own all-in-one computer, which, you know, so it's kind of like the iMac. Or, you know, Dell makes some as well, some of these all-in-one computers. It's basically a computer inside a big monitor. And you can build those yourself, too, with the thin mini ITX form factor.
It makes me really hate
super
that
cool.
I don't need one.
I know, right? So anyway, as far as buying, did he say whether he wants a desktop or a laptop?
Desktop.
Okay.
He currently has a MacBook or a MacBook Pro, I don't remember which, but he wants to build a desktop PC.
Okay, or buy
desktop. A desktop
so
PC.
Here's, this is probably going to be an unpopular opinion, but hang with me for a sec, listeners. If you can't decide between Mac or PC and you want to buy, not build, you kind of can't go wrong with getting an iMac or Mac Pro if you really want to, but probably an iMac from your needs, because you can always run Windows on the iMac. Okay. Mm. Or you could run both, you know? You can run the Mac. If you decide you like Mac better, you can run Mac for your daily stuff and Windows for your games or whatever. That's something that you can't necessarily do on most PC desktops that you buy. You could Hackintosh a PC desktop that you build, but there aren't a lot, correct me if I'm wrong, Dot, just that you can Hackintosh out of the box from the store, like a Dell or something.
Yeah, I mean, you could. It's not worth it because, I mean, you
probably have to replace, more trouble.
You probably have to replace a couple of parts, but it's just so easy to build it.
So that's my real thing. My real recommendation is to look further into building. I really think that building your own computer is just such an awesome way to go. It really gives you full control over the specs you have. You know, you get to choose all of the parts that you want, and you can run OS X and or Windows on it, which is nice.
Yeah, and if something breaks, you can fix it yourself. And I think people like having the comfort of tech support, and I think that makes sense for some people. But if you know how to build a computer, you can figure it out, and it's really not that hard. I don't want to insult anybody. I don't want to say like grandpa can't build a computer because my grandpa could.
If you gave him the parts and the directions, he probably could. It's actually a lot easier than you think.
He'd probably have an easier time building a computer than he would using it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that building a computer, because I knew nothing about building computers when I first started, and I just read the instructions, and apart from like one little quirk that had me, you know, troubleshooting for about an hour, it worked fine. It was really easy to build. So I would recommend that as my number one choice. If you really don't want to build, and you've looked through all of our guides that we're linking to in the show notes here about building, if you really don't want to build, I personally would recommend an iMac because you have the choice of Mac and Windows. A lot of Windows fans would probably hate on me for that. Again, there is the added cost of an iMac, kind of.
Yeah, even the Mac Minis are super fast now. The latest iteration are really good. I mean, so if you wanted to, he needs dual screens. I guess you can do both. You can do that with both, but both.
That's true. You still need another screen for the iMac too.
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to be an added cost no matter what. The iMac, though, you could get two matching screens. I may be the only one who cares about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, like, if you build, you get to do whatever you want. That's really the nice thing. But I do agree with Whitson. The only downside is that if you get a Mac desktop, you don't get an optical drive, which, if you care about that, it's kind of annoying.
USB optical drives are like $30.
Yeah, there's a good one on Amazon.
Honestly, I'm of the camp that there's no reason to waste space in your computer with an optical drive.
I don't even use them.
I took mine out in favor of other things because I have the home built computer. I have those five and a quarter inch bays. I have three of them, and I took it out because I had other stuff I would rather put in there.
No, I completely agree.
I'd like the USB drive when I use it, which is like once a month maybe.
But I know everyone. I mean, I don't know everyone. Everyone I know, they all are like, oh, I couldn't do that.
I know. Well,
even though I guarantee you they could.
Until they do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, both my mom and my girlfriend have both switched to MacBook Airs, and they are shocked at how rarely they ever use their optical drive now that it's gone.
Yeah, you know, my friend Becca, she just switched to the same MacBook Air I have.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. She didn't want to switch because of the optical drive, and she just never uses it.
It's just not a thing anymore. People don't realize it. But it's like, you know, you only really use it to rip CDs, and people don't even do that anymore.
Yeah, everyone I've seen that says they need an optical drive, I've never seen them use an optical drive.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of people want it, so if you do need an optical drive, be prepared to buy one, or you could also just get a previous generation iMac. Those are still really fast.
Yeah. Anyway, I as far as Windows desktops go, if you decide you do want Windows, you know, the only downside of getting a Windows desktop is that you definitely cannot go back to Mac if you ever decide you want to.
It sounds like it doesn't really care either way,
though. I know. And I would also say that if you're going to go Windows desktop, building is way better.
Yeah, you got to build it.
Way, way, way better than buying. You know, a lot of the ones you buy are either way overpriced or underpowered or just, you know, I'm just not a fan personally. And I honestly couldn't tell you what models to look at because I haven't bought a Windows PC in my life. I mean, you know, I had one when I was a kid and then I switched to Mac, and now that I've switched back, I build everything. So
I have actually oddly bought a Windows PC desktop before. I don't recommend it. it's more work because you got to clean up Windows because they put all that crap on there.
Yeah. Plus, you know, a built one will probably last you a bit longer in the long run because it's easier to upgrade.
Yeah.
As far as like video cards or things like that go, or hard drives. I mean, you can upgrade the all-in-one ones that you buy or whatever, but sometimes they're harder to match parts for and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I had a tiny Hackintosh mini in the downstairs I use as a media center, and the power supply that was built into the case broke. So I just went out and got another case, swapped it in, and it took longer to drive to get the case than it did to fix the problem.
Yeah, but you don't have to deal with like Dell support or any of that crap. You can just go get it yourself from the store and put it back in, which is super easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything that gets you out of customer support is like you save money and you don't have to deal with customer support. There's like no downside as far as I'm concerned.
Anyway, that's way more than you probably wanted to know. We have a lot to say this week on things.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's move on to our tips of the week and downloads of the week. Wrap this up.
I guess.
Alan, what's your tip of the week?
So, yeah, there's this...
did you have something to say on the last question? I realized you didn't. We just kept going.
I think you guys covered it completely. I would say that I have bought a Windows desktop. I bought it as a gift for somebody for Christmas. And I completely can vouch for the fact that no matter how much you spend on a pre-boxed Windows desktop at this point, you can build better with the same amount of money. That's just how it is at this point. You're paying for support. You're paying for brand name. So that's it. That's all I had to offer.
Okay. Sorry. Moving on. Tip of the week.
Moving on.
Let's do
Moving
it.
On. This web app called MovieCron is a service that lets you just sit there and browse movie trailers, which is really cool by itself. But the best part about it is it lets you browse these movie trailers for films that are going to be coming out in the next couple months or next, you know, later in the year, the summer, or whenever. And if you like the movie trailer or if you find a movie you're really interested in, you can click to add a notification to yourself. So MovieCron will email you or send you a text message either the day before the premiere, the day of the premiere, a week or 2 weeks before the premiere, whatever you want. And when in that text message or email, there's a link to go ahead and go buy the tickets so you never forget to grab tickets for opening night or to, you know, actually go see a movie in the theaters that you wanted to see.
That's great.
It's pretty cool. It's free. It's easy to use. It's a labor of love from a guy over at Hacker News. And, you know, he's pretty responsive to feature requests and bug reports and things. So it's really awesome. You should check it out.
Yeah, I actually will use that because I do forget to go to the movies. I write down movies somewhere in like a note, in like a text file, and then lose it, and then don't go to the movie, and then find out 6 months later it's on DVD or whatever they put movies on nowadays.
That's iTunes.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks. My tip,
Taylor Swift,
is how to hide the embarrassing things that you've liked on Facebook. This was kind of an interesting little thing I found on Facebook. So when you like something on Facebook, you know, like a page, and I'm going to use Taylor Swift as an example because that's the example I used in the video and everyone thought it was so funny. Let's say I like Taylor Swift on Facebook. I am now able to get updates from Taylor Swift on like new concerts, the new album that's, you know, whatever, like, which is handy. I like
her
that.
Latest hairstyle.
You can't win them all. I don't really care about that as much. But anyway, so that's like, that's handy. I like that. But then I have this big thing on my profile that says Whitson Gordon likes Taylor Swift, and then people make fun of me and I don't like it. So you can't, Facebook doesn't let you hide individual likes from your profile, which is interesting. But it does let you hide whole sections of likes. So, you know, like you could hide all of your favorite music, or you could, like, you know, change the privacy settings for the music section or the favorite TV shows section. So the interesting thing that I found is there are all these other sections that sometimes people don't use. Like there's a section for favorite sports teams, which I don't use because I don't know any sports teams. So I just, you know, I could just put Taylor Swift under the sports teams section because it's not, you know, it doesn't matter what which section you put it under. Set the privacy for that to only me. And then no one will be able to see that I like Taylor Swift, but I'll still be able to get updates on her new album and hairstyle and all that interesting stuff that I love so very much. So just kind of a cool little workaround on Facebook that I found that I thought people would find interesting. There's a, you can check out the link in the show notes. There's a video on how to do it and all sorts of fun stuff like that.
Now I can actually like things.
Right?
Yeah.
God just can like all of those porn stars that he wanted to like on Facebook, but was too embarrassed.
Friending me. I don't know why. I've gotten so many porn star requests, and it's not like it's all over the map, all kinds of porn stars. I don't know what's going on.
And there goes our clean tag on iTunes.
Oh, I could have said a lot worse.
It's true. Okay. Well, let's move on before you do that.
My pick is... Oh, bad, dirty jokes. No, my pick is Never Lose a Lens Cap Again with the Help of a Lego Brick. I thought this was really brilliant. I can't remember. I think I saw it on DIY Photography, but there's a, if you put a Lego brick, if you attach it to your lens cap and then attach another Lego brick with the opposite side on the camera strap that you have, you can take off your lens cap, stick it onto the lens strap, and then you don't lose it, which is really, I thought, very brilliant. And it uses Legos, which is really fun because you could do the same thing with Velcro, but Legos are better.
God, Lego is so useful.
They are.
I just love Lego.
And they're all different colors.
They are all different colors. That is a fun tip.
You know what would be
like
fun
that.
Though is if you put one like the body on the lens cap and the head on the strap and you could connect the person together.
that's pretty funny. You could do that, but it probably wouldn't be as strong.
No, but it would be hilarious.
I know a lot about the strength of different types of Lego.
You get to pull heads off people. Legally.
You would enjoy that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to our downloads. Alan, what was your favorite download this week?
My favorite download is a backup utility called Carbon. It's actually made by the guy who built Clockwork Mod for Android. So Carbon backs up your Android phone. It can sync data between two Android devices. It can back up all your data to Dropbox or Google Drive, your SD card, Box.net, whatever. And the best part is it doesn't require root to do any of it. So if you do have root, then it works even easier. But if you don't have root, you just pair it up with this companion desktop app, and it just does all of it. It'll do it automatically. It'll do hands-off backups. It's really awesome for people who either don't want to root their phones or scared to root their phones or want to back up before rooting their phones, which is a good idea. Yep. So it's pretty cool, and it's free. A $5 in-app upgrade gets you some of the added features like Dropbox, cloud backups, and stuff like that.
So is it an Android backup, or is it just backing up like your apps and data?
It's just your apps and data.
So it's more akin to Titanium Backup, but
it
without
root. In fact, it's kind of a direct competitor to Titanium Backup. I mean, Titanium does more strictly, but it requires root.
Right. Some of its features require root.
Right. So that's kind of where they're going. And there's been some rumblings on a couple of Android blogs that Titanium Backup's kind of lost its mojo. I don't think that's true yet, but some of their updates have definitely been kind of, I don't know how I feel about that.
Okay.
So
I haven't checked it out in a while, so I'll have to. But I will check out Carbon too. Koosh, the guy that makes Carbon and Clockwork Mod and a bunch. He makes a bunch of really cool apps. He's a fantastic developer. So, and a nice fella. So you can check out. I recommend checking out his other apps too. All right, my pick of the week is actually multiple picks merged into one. There's finally a Windows bundle in the world.
What?
A Windows bundle.
What?
I know. So here's the thing. A lot of you have probably seen these Mac bundles come up every like 3 days. There's a new Mac bundle that sells like $200 worth of Mac apps for $20.
That is an understatement.
Right?
It's more like three Mac bundles a day.
I know. It's ridiculous. And a lot of them are, you know, a lot of them leave a little bit to be desired. Some of them are really good and some of them are like, this is kind of stupid. But there was a Windows one that just came out, and it's basically Breevy for $25.
Well, that's what you say.
I know. So there's actually, it's 200, I think it's like $228 worth of apps. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 apps. Thank you. 7 apps. A lot of them are pretty good. It's got the pro version of Terracopy, which is great. I think every Windows user should have Terracopy. It's awesome.
Yeah, I wish Mac had Terracopy.
Direct folders, which is quick access to your favorite files and folders. Haven't tried that out myself. Spyglass is pretty cool. It's kind of like Winderstat, but it's a premium app. But obviously, you get it for low cost with this bundle.
It's pretty.
It shows you how much. It's a little bit easier to read, probably too. It shows you
It looks like Daisy Disk for Mac.
Yeah, which is also on sale right now for $5. Yeah. Just side note. So it basically shows you what's taking up space in your hard drive. Definitely my favorite app in the bundle is Breevy, which is a text expander for Windows. If you don't know what text expansion is, look it up. It's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to your life, maybe.
Yep.
We have an article about it. We'll put it in the show notes. It'll take too long to explain. If you know what text expansion is, Breevy is amazing. Breevy is usually $35 or like $40. Yeah. So the bundle itself is $25, which is $10 less than Breevy already costs. And Breevy is easily the best app in this bundle. So if you use text expansion, you should get this bundle. If you don't use text expansion, you should start using it by getting this bundle because it's amazing. There is a free text expander for Windows called Phrase Express that's also, it's good. It has definitely some more quirks than Breevy does and some like annoyances. You know, it comes with this big dictionary that tries to you have to do a lot more to get it working the way you want, I've found, than Breevy. But $35 is a pretty hefty price. Now it's $25, and you also get Terracopy and Spyglass and a bunch of other apps too, which is cool. So
got about 12 days left, a little less.
Yeah, I would love to see more Windows bundles like this out there. Windows apps need more exposure.
I've heard rumblings.
Anyway, all right, moving on. Dotchess, you have two downloads this week.
I have two downloads.
You cheater.
I'm greedy. One of them is Airmail, which is like Sparrow, our favorite email app for Mac, but it's like Sparrow Plus. So if you haven't followed the Sparrow news, as many people may not have, Sparrow was bought by Google, and they're not developing it any further, which is sad because it's so great. But Airmail seems like it's a version of Sparrow that not only works fantastically with Gmail and has the same ability to use Dropbox for attachment sync, but it also supports other accounts. You can use AOL and Yahoo, and there's another list in like any IMAP account. Not that Sparrow can't support IMAP accounts, but they're supporting all these different email services, just like Sparrow supports Gmail, so you don't lose any of the features by using a desktop email client. It also has a bunch of other neat things. It has theme displays, so you can have your message list look a variety of really cool ways, whether you want it to be compact or you want it to show different label colors a certain way. It's really neat, and I'm expecting that we'll see quite a bit more from it. I mean, the public beta is really thorough in what it offers, so it's definitely worth checking out. We'll have the link in the show notes. If you want to try an alternative to Sparrow, this is basically everything Sparrow does, and we'll probably do more in the future. And then very briefly, an iOS download called Flexi, which is really neat. It's, if one of the neat things about touchscreen typing is that it autocorrects, sometimes hilariously. Flexi is a keyboard that autocorrects so well even the blind could use it. And it was actually developed for the blind for that reason. It features three rows of letters, and you can kind of just mash your hand against them. And if you get the letters... pretty much wrong, it'll still figure out what you meant. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I typed, what was it? It was like...
giraffe? For you're trying to type giraffe.
I tried to type giraffe.
Fad
glyphs. Yeah. And it figured it out. So, I mean, it's free to download. Even if you don't want to use it because it's not built into iOS, they do have an Android version coming, I've been told. But right now it's just for iOS. If you don't want to use it in iOS because it doesn't replace the actual keyboard in iOS... you should just download it to play with it because it's remarkable how good it is at figuring out what you meant to type. That said, you do have to know how to spell. So if you're a terrible speller, then that's a bad idea. If you spell giraffe with two R's instead of two F's, for example, it might get confused because your intentions have to be correct. Your typing doesn't.
Makes sense. All right, cool. So now that's a lot of downloads to go check out this week. In total, yes. That's like 7, 8, 9. That's like 10 downloads.
Somewhere between 7 and like 8 million.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, that's all for us today. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you like us, go rate us on iTunes, please. Or, even better, leave us a review on iTunes, because those help us out a lot, and we love you guys for leaving them. You can also, you know, send constructive criticism, love, whatever you want, our way on Twitter at lifehacker, Facebook at facebook.com/lifehacker, and on Google Plus at plus.google.com/pluslifehacker. Or you can hit any of us up individually at our individual accounts, which you'll find at lifehacker.com/about. You can find the show notes for this episode in the link in the description of this podcast, or just by heading to lifehacker.com/the show. You'll be able to find the show notes for every episode there, as well as this episode's after 5 p.m. Pacific time on Thursdays. So that's all. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Also, watch out for dihydrogen monoxide. It kills, folks.
If you'd like to ask us a question, send an email to tips+askLHshow@lifehacker.com or give us a call at 347-687-8109. Keep your questions as short as you can so we can keep the show moving right along. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.